Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And off we go. Not a great start for the series. Mike Burrows, they had the lead. Two pitches in. The Astros lead 2-0. Two pitches. Jeremy Pena with the infield single, and then Yordan goes the other way. This Chandler dude throws hard, second hardest in baseball, second Mizorowski, but he ain't even. Now, I would imagine that he is going to be better. Mizorowski was good last year, and he's elite this year. Chandler's probably going to be much better as he goes along because he does throw so hard. He just ain't that yet. And the Astros, they took advantage. They put some runs up against them, but they couldn't. Listen, and the other thing is this Pittsburgh team is one of the best offenses in baseball. That is something that we didn't talk about yesterday. They're a top five offense in baseball. So they took advantage. They took care of business against Mike Burrows. Astros lose game one. They get slapped around. And game two today, the best matchup in baseball as Arrighetti goes against Skeens. Skeens has not been Skeens lately, so maybe the Astros can get to him a little bit better. His last three outings have not been great, but not a great start to the series. I'm still on this Astros team is going to turn it around. Josh Hader returns, so you got that. We got that going for us, which is nice. Hunter Brown's around the corner, so here we go. You don't believe this team will get back to 500?
No. No. For reasons like yesterday, just Mike Burrows isn't very good. They're just not good enough. They don't have enough good players to overcome this kind of deficit, I don't think. And, I mean, we'll see, especially when your good players are always hurt. I mean, Carlos gone. We know that. Yeah. I hope we don't see another pitcher gone for the year as well. Although Christian Javier, I forgot Christian Javier was on the team. Oh. I literally just forgot Christian Javier played for the Astros.
Is he though?
I have not looked up a latest Christian. Okay, so he started his rehab stint. So okay,
he
so
did?
Christian. I mean, that's what people are saying. There's no real proof of it.
I don't
have any proof of life on Christian Javier.
You. Yeah, I don't
yeah,
believe that.
I don't, and really, frankly, I don't care if I ever see a Christian Javier start again. I just assume his arm is dead forever.
That's a 50. There's another 53 million wasted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's today. He pitches today. Rehab start.
Nice.
Double A Corpus Wednesday to begin a rehab. Well, to begin a rehab assignment, I should say. So, I don't know if he's pitching today, but he's headed down there today.
Yep.
Beautiful Corpus Christi. He'll be able to take in beautiful Corpus Christi. And we'll see. It says he's ramped up his throwing program over the past few weeks and is now ready for game action. He'll likely require a few starts in the minors before being cleared to rejoin the Astros. So, I don't know. Three starts would be 2 weeks. So, potentially 2 weeks. Depending on how their schedule's playing out, maybe at the most three weeks. So, and he's going to have to start, I would imagine, pretty light from a pitch count standpoint. So, what, mid-June, maybe? Late June, get him back. Hunter Brown back sooner than that. Mm. We'll see. I'm not saying Christian Javier comes back and things get better. Christian Javier wasn't good when he was pitching. So, we'll see. At least, Imai has been more serviceable. He's been more serviceable. That's a positive thing there. We'll see. I have a hard time seeing them coming back. But better players are coming back. We'll see. But there's a lot of ground to make up. And that's to get to 500. That's not even, you're not even addressing the fact that the Mariners have kind of started to make a little bit of a move to show that they are, and they should be the best team in the division. They should mm-hmm. be, but they're just over 500. They're not much over 500.
No, the division sucks.
this division really blows.
It
truly blows this division.
It really kind of does.
It really does. I mean, it's like, golly, we're in this kind of division. And we've been in this kind of division in sports before with the AFC South has been stinky. 9-7 was you were title champs if you could go 9-7 in the AFC South. But it's not usually the Astros that are the
No.
I mean, usually the Astros were really good, and everyone else sucked in this division.
Pretty much. Now, So we had that. That's going to be hard to talk. A lot of Texans news coming out of there. A lot of interviews we heard from Coach D'Amico. We have heard, we'll hear from him about Kaylee. We've got Nico Collins, and he took the podium, as did Will Anderson. So we got a lot of sound there. So, you know, Astros baseball, it's going to be hard to talk about the Astros every day when they look like this. They show signs, and then they just, you know, fall apart. What a great road trip, and then you come home. Milwaukee's a good baseball team. There's a good chance you lose this series to Pittsburgh, and you know what? That's unacceptable behavior. That is just unacceptable behavior by this organization.
It's poor form is what it is. It's poor form.
It is poor form.
Although they are 500, so
yeah,
and they're 15-13 away. You're 13-17 at home right now, so. You know, the odds say they should. I mean, I don't know. Skeens really hasn't been that good the last three starts. No. Who beats up on Eric Geddy? Nobody.
No.
What's the over on in this one? Five runs, five and a half.
I would imagine it's seven in that neighborhood.
It's probably seven. In real life, it's probably seven. It can't be higher. It can't. You know what? I'm gonna check it right now. There's no chance it's higher than seven.
No, I don't think so. Not with those two on the
mound. With those two. Like, Eric Geddy is legitimately a monster, and Skeens has a reputation. Even if Skeens hasn't been playing at that level, pitching at that level the last three, I mean, they're still going to say Paul Skeens. I'm looking right now in the Houston Astros, and Skeens is a -146 favorite. Against the Astros and Eric Geddy, if you say I think the Astros are going to win, you would wager if it were legal, and it is on certain sites, 100, yeah. 100 to win 132.
So if you take Eric Geddy, you win 132. Mm-hmm. When are you going to take Eric Geddy at home and get plus money?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually. And when are you going to see Skeens coming off three games where he's not himself?
Yeah, right.
About as good as you could hope for, honestly. This is about as good a spot as you could hope for.
Yep. Doesn't get much better than this. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5. Did you watch any of the election results last night?
No, not the LA election results.
Well, you got a Republican leading the governor race. Are well right there with the two guys, Hilton and Becerra, but Spencer Pratt says he is in the runoff. This is the first time the incumbent mayor did not win the election in June. That's going to a runoff. This is the first time in forever that this is happening.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
The incumbent mayor always just takes care of business, but she didn't. And Spencer Pratt. He's declared that it's going to take a week.
He's made a declaration?
It's going to take a week.
I'm looking right now. Yeah, she's punched her ticket for November election. Spencer Pratt is still hoping for his.
Yeah, well, he's already declared that he's in. So
as he made a declaration.
Right, he made the declaration. He's way ahead of, he's like 10 points ahead of Rahman. So, but Rahman's going to, Karen Bass will get all Rahman's votes. It'll be really difficult for him to win in November, but it's been fun to watch. That's for sure. And we got more videos coming, so that'll be fun. He makes her out to be the Joker every one of these. Yeah. Well,
we're not getting to see. Are these on TV?
Yeah,
they're not on TV.
They're all over online.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't. It's not on my timeline. I don't check Twitter as much. It's better that way.
You don't?
No, I mean, if I do, all it's turned into is me looking at one video, and then it turns into, just like on Instagram or FaceTime or anything else, it just turns into a scroll of fights of Anatoly. Here's first segment. I'm just ruining the whole first segment.
No.
You're
certainly ruining it. We're not going to be talking Astros baseball.
I am very interested in the NBA Finals, and we had a great matchup in Stanley Cup in Game 1. But I don't think most of our listeners watch Stanley Cup Game 1. I could be wrong. But you know what? I wonder if everyone is seeing. I have clearly watched too many of these because this populates every algorithm of mine ever, is Anatoly. Do you know this guy? He is.
Oh, the weightlifter?
So you do knew him. So he for those who don't know, he dresses up. His whole gimmick is he goes to a gym with a bunch of muscle heads, and he has this mop. Well, this mop, the bar for the mop is like a weight bar, but it's even heavier than that. And that's the bar, and he's got a mop at the end of it. It's obviously been specially made. And this guy is unusually strong. He's not a big guy at all. So he wears this blue jumpsuit. He pretends like he's cleaning in the gym.
He's a worker, yeah.
Yeah, he works at the gym, and then he'll go up and ask people if he can. Like, sometime he'll say, "Can I try the weight? Can I try that also?" And they're like, no, you can't. You're going to hurt yourself. And eventually, you know, he goofs around, acts like he doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, gee, oh, and then he does a deadlift of about 500 pounds. Like the same thing that these muscle heads are doing one time because it's so heavy. He'll do it like three times in a row, and they're all left shocked. Then he'll ask him to hold his – he's holding his mop with one hand up. Like, you'd never know that this thing weighs about 50 pounds. He's holding it with one hand. He hands it over to him, and as soon as they grab it, he goes, "Can you hold mop?" And as soon as they try to hold the mop, it like crashes down to the ground because it's so heavy. I am addicted to Anatoly videos only because my algorithm says, Lance, we're going to make you addicted to Anatoly videos.
If you watch one, then you're going to get all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, yeah. And I got to go through them because they're all the same. The guys
they're
are
all
amazed.
Very
All the
similar.
Muscle heads are amazed at how he mm-hmm. can and how heavy the mop is. I thought there might be some kind of magnet that he knows how to pull it off the floor. But apparently that thing is...
No, he's a power lifter. He's an accomplished power lifter.
And he does it with one... These guys are trying to pick up these weights with both hands, and he does it one-handed.
Well,
and
if it's a certain weight, yeah, he can basically lift it above his head and then start cleaning where it was.
Right.
And they're looking at it like, how do you... Or he'll pick it up. He'll go, "I just need to clean." And he picks it up, and he walks it over somewhere else. We're talking about 400 and some odd pounds, and he walks it over to another spot, and they can't believe he's able to... They're like, "How are you doing this?" I'll come over and feel his arms. My mom told me to use good technique.
Yeah. Oh, you've heard him talk?
Yeah,
mine is, for whatever reason, mine is my timeline is filled with Penny Lane walking down the Sports Illustrated swimsuit lane, the runway. Mm. And, I mean, over and over and over again, okay? We've seen Penny Lane enough, okay? I didn't know who Penny Lane was before.
Who is
this.
Penny Lane? I don't know who it is.
I don't know who she is either. Del, you know who she is?
He said no. Oh, well, wait a minute now.
Yeah. Look at the swimsuit issue. Yeah. She goes down the runway. And is it Drake Mays?
Oh, she's old school swimsuit model.
Yeah. But
Goodness.
So Sports Illustrated got away from what they were doing a couple of years ago, and they went back to really hot girls.
Yeah, this is she's skinny like old school models, but the top is not so skinny.
They went a little.
Yeah, bouncy. It's more of a Sydney Sweeney vibe.
Yep.
Above the waist.
Yep. We will hear Texans talk on the other side. We got Will Anderson, Nico Collins, D'Amico. They all hit the podium yesterday afternoon. So we will hear from them and what they've got to say about what's going on. 713-780-3776. If you've got anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to get in here. I'm talking about IBEW right now. I'm talking about a career. I'm not talking about you just, having a job. You want a job? That's great. Do you have a future? Do you have health insurance, full family health insurance? Do you have high wages? Do you have a retirement plan? Do you? Or do you just have a job? Because the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, they want to talk to you if you're looking for a career. They will pay you to learn. Classroom learning, paid on-the-job training. A nationally recognized career. What they do is they build, maintain, and operate the electrical grid. And you can learn how to do that. Are you out of high school, don't know what you want to do, out of the military, don't know what you want to do, just bored with what you're doing right now? Well, how about IBEW? In as little as 3 to 5 years, you can have this career going while you make money learning. Okay, so it's not like you have to give up everything for 3 years. You are actually going to make money, but then you'll have a career. if it's you, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, whatever the case may be, and they're looking for something different and better, IBEW66.com. IBEW66.com. IBEW Local 66, powering careers, powering the future.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I'm looking at a video of rookies telling who they think should be the Madden 27 cover. Who do you think should be the Madden 27 cover?
Madden 27?
Yeah.
I'm going with Will Anderson.
You like Will Anderson?
Sure.
Who?
Why not? He's from the hottest unit, which would be the Texans defensive unit. There's not an offensive unit that's more, you know, celebrated right now. The Texans playoffs put them in a very rarefied air. Everyone was talking about the Texans defense. Everybody. And Will Anderson is the face of that defense.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Smith and Jigba.
That's a good one.
Well, you're both wrong. Not a surprise. Pick
Who
a quarterback.
Matthew Stafford?
No. Pick a cool young quarterback.
Oh, Daniel Jones.
I said cool and young.
Richardson?
Jackson Dart.
No.
No.
He's done little to nothing.
Okay, a cool young.
Caleb Williams.
There it is.
Yeah.
Cool.
Remember when Jaden Daniels just 2 years ago was the dude?
In fact, the cover had already been leaked, at least one of them. So everyone knows that Caleb Williams, all these people who are into that know that Caleb Williams is on the cover. And this,
well, how about they got his fingernails on it?
Well, yeah.
He's got his arms crossed with his hands on his shoulders.
He does the celebration when it's too cold or whatever the exact thing is.
Is that what he does?
Yeah, when he makes plays.
He's the Iceman, remember?
The Iceman. Yeah, that's his nickname.
Oh, yeah. Remember, he stole George Gervin's name. And then they put a cease and desist on.
That's right.
And George Gervin's like, wait, what now?
Listen, I Bears fans can't be down with the nail thing, though.
We'll just keep winning games.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you win games, they'll put up with a lot of stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. Does he do it like Jared McCain?
He doesn't have so many TikTok dances.
He doesn't dance.
As long as you don't dance.
He doesn't dance like Jared McCain?
Jared is trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm convinced. And he's successful frequently.
Who, Jared McCain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's successful frequently, but I think he's well aware of his zesty approach making people uncomfortable, and I think he leans into that. Yeah. Caleb Williams right now, I think he doesn't. My guess is he doesn't want to get out of what he's doing because then it looks like people beat him. Like all that talk about his fingernail polish, you know. I think he wants to just keep going the way he is and show people. Because everything I hear coming out of Chicago, he's gotten much more serious. He's more dialed in. He's grown up. He takes on the personality of Ben Johnson. Like, he's really, really dialed in with Ben Johnson. But at the same time, he's also strikes me as somebody who doesn't want to let people think they won. Like, he's going to keep doing a nail polish thing. And maybe it's just a normal, I don't know. Who cares? He's a pretty good quarterback. There's some signs last year that he could be moving on up. Would either of you right now put him above CJ?
Yes.
You would?
We can move on.
Okay.
What, put him above CJ?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I think I would.
Too. Yes.
Yeah.
So
I need Big Brother him a year ago.
Wait a minute, I don't understand the question. Could you repeat the question?
Would you put Caleb Williams ahead of C.J. Stroud as a quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah. I'm going to answer. Well,
I mean, it's obviously recency bias, and C.J. was really bad recently.
In my personal opinion. Yes.
Yeah.
I would put Caleb Williams ahead.
Plus,
of
Plus, he has Ben Johnson. That helps my argument as well.
But Ben Johnson's been doing this a while. Nick Caley just started, and D'Amico talked about Nick Caley.
All right. The old segue.
Yep. Okay. Nick Cayley in year two. Now, we're not just going to run the basic. We're not basic anymore. I don't know if you heard. We ain't a basic offense no more because we got year two. Here's D'Amico on Cayley in year two.
For Cayley offensively, we've been able to, you know, install more plays, more wrinkles to what we did last year. So it's exciting to see a different look. You'll see some different things from us offensively this year, and he's growing as a coach. The communication, how he's meeting, you know, how he's calling the plays out here on the field, how he's leading the guys. He's doing a great job.
What is going to change this year?
I think number one, how I would anticipate he has a better feeling for, especially after looking at probably all the data for called plays and results and things like that. He has a better feel for what works and what doesn't with CJ. So he's probably a little bit more dialed in with what CJ likes to do. CJ already said they're incorporating some things that CJ likes to do a little bit more. Which I'm surprised they weren't doing that last year. I don't know. But maybe it's CJ feels more comfortable with certain things right now. I would say the run game. I'd say the run game makes everything a little easier this year.
Yeah, I would think that the you know, it's going to be different. He's going to call more runs, basically, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to run the ball better. I think CJ will be under center more. I think that you're going to run the football. You're going to have more play action, and it's actually going to work. Play action is actually going to work if you have some success running the football. And I think that, you know, that is going to open up a lot of things for this for them offensively. Will they be able to throw the ball down the field? Is Tank a key to this season?
He better not be, because you don't know where he is right now.
Yeah. I think he's pretty good. I think he's pretty
good.
Was
he limping? Was he on crutches when you saw him at the wedding?
No, he wasn't on crutches.
Was he in a walking boot?
He was not in a walking boot.
Well, we saw him doing footwork stuff. Now, I don't know if that's old video or not, but I assume they positioned it as it wasn't old, and he was making sharp cuts, and that was over a month ago. That was like 6 weeks ago. And I guess they're just not taking any chances. The way D'Amico makes it sound is they're not taking any chances. I just get a little bit unnerved just because of the Joe Mixon stuff, where it just kept dragging out. But, you know, D'Amico, it doesn't, you said it yesterday, it doesn't make any sense for him to give a definitive timeline if he doesn't know. We already see how that works out for Dana Brown.
Yep. You got to be honest with people. But, you know, like I said, for those of you that weren't here yesterday, I talked to Tank this weekend, and he's going to be there. He is going to be there, whether or not that it'll be right at the beginning of the season. He says he's just taking it easy. He's not doing football stuff right now, but come August, he's going to be there. And you know what? Does Tank Dell make a big difference with this team opening stuff up with the downfield threat? I think he does a little bit. I don't know how many under/over on Tank Dell catches this year. I'm going to say 30.
Oh, man, that seems low.
You does?
Yeah, I mean, if he's healthy.
If Tank Dell catches more than 30 this year.
If he plays every game, that's less than two a game.
Yeah. Yeah, if he plays every game.
Yeah, and the playing every game thing has not been a thing for him. So I would say 30 is, if he plays and he's healthy, he's over 30. So your entire guess is like, when does he get back? Does he stay healthy? Because I see him catching... I see him catching 2.4 a game. Yeah. Maybe getting something like that. And I'm also assuming that they go with Tank and they're not going big. Hey, how much more are they going 12 personnel, which would knock Tank off the field?
Yeah, to get the running game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Tank, they're going to go probably less 11 personnel than they did in 23.
And how much Tank is Jalen Noel going to be on the field?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I don't think Tank is not going to factor in for a second contract. It wouldn't make any sense to do that, because then you have to pay Tank even more. Injuries have been a big piece of the Tank Dell story. He's highly undersized. You've got Jalen Noel, And you're going to have resets at different positions with rookie contracts. You have to, because you have so much money that you're going to be spending with. Kamari Laster's up next. Well, you have to borrow money from other positions. So you reset that Tank Dell money, which is still rookie money. He's still on a rookie contract. If you give him a second contract, he's making much more money. You've got a rookie contract where right now with Jalen Noel. Tank will walk after this year. And who are going to be other guys who walk after this year to make it happen? Maybe To'o, right? He doesn't have a contract extension.
They're in a good spot. I think To'o might be the only guy that's contributing that is up after this year.
They've been re-upping guys.
They're in really, really, really good shape for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got multiple windows. One window is they've got two more years. And it's the CJ window. It's a new quarterback window that opens up. But that's when Danielle Hunter is going bye-bye, more than likely. So you have, as you mentioned, John, you have 2 years, meaning you have 2 years of guys being locked in. And that's good to have that window. But it's not like the window disappears after that. You start a new window. You'll just have to, Braden Smith's contract's up, Wyatt Teller's up, Danielle Hunter is up. Some of those veterans are going to be gone.
Yep. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Right now, let's talk a little soccer, Lance.
Let's talk about your chance to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup 26. It's right here in Houston. I want to give you an opportunity, thanks to my friends over at Michelob Ultra. This is really cool. It's the promotional events they've got going on through June 14th. Now, listen up. I'm going to give you multiple chances to win. Every single day I'm talking about this. All you have to do is show up in an event that I'm going to tell you about in a second and compete in an interactive soccer shootout game. The winner is going to go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Here are this week's event locations. Four chances to win this week. On Thursday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., you have Rock Newtony Sports Bar, Clear Lake. Thursday, you also have from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. We didn't forget about you, Pasadena. Tri-City Beer Garden is where you can have your chance to win yours this Thursday. On Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight, Social Beer Garden in Midtown is your spot. And then Saturday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. is J Bar M in Edo. Play for a chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2/1/26 and ends on 5/31/26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, John, I got a restaurant for you to go to next time you're in town.
Lucy?
No, it's and I say this because it's your people, part of your people. It's the Greeks. Did
Where
you know?
It?
I know you've heard of it, Yaya Mary's.
It received, I know Yaya Mary's. It was on San Felipe in 610 forever.
Yeah, now it's in one of the old it was a different Papado location. I think Little Papado. It's off of it's in the Montrose area. I want to say off of Richmond, but I think it's off of Richmond or I don't know, or West Alabama. But anyway, it received one of only 3 4-star reviews from the Chronicle's new food writer. So your people putting out, that's the highest rating he gives. And he gave March, which is like a restaurant you go to in New York or Chicago. It's really high-end, really nice, really good food here. But
My guy is Dimitri from Nico Nico's.
Oh, I love Nico Nico's too. Yeah. This is more.
But I'm sure
this
he
is
doesn't
more,
mind sharing. If it's more Greeks, the better.
No, his is more casual. And this one is more, the grilled octopus dish. It's a Pappas restaurant. It's really good. It's really good. So just giving you a shout, a heads up. Next time you and Wendy come in town, maybe you can show her the Greek side of your heritage instead of just trying to pretend like they don't exist.
Yeah.
Does Winnie know that you're also part Greek, or do you only show her just the good half, like in Goodfellas?
No. We opa también. Okay.
Do you ever drink ouzo with Winnie? Do you ever make her do ouzo shots?
No, that's a Damaris thing. They do that, and I don't really do ouzo shots.
There's bad people who do ouzo.
No, you've gotten drunk on Thanksgiving morning before.
Yeah. Hey, I was supposed to just go get a fried turkey. Before you know it, I'm like six ouzo shots in, like, oh, this isn't good. I went to sleep at my own Thanksgiving.
This is weird. Andrew Berry said he wasn't trying to get the best return for Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Now, when are you know, in trades? You never want to get the best return.
Miles wasn't on the block. Why not open the bidding and get a few more picks? Berry says that wasn't the goal. What?
Well, his goal was to get a now rusher, and it was Jared Verse. There were going to be no deals unless he could get a Jared Verse. He didn't want a bunch of picks. He wanted a player. That's what his reference is to. He wanted somebody who he thought was a really good player right now.
Well, in effect, they did get two first-rounders, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and a second and a third. Right, so... They did.
Wait. Did it end up being four picks?
Yeah. No, it was Verse. Oh,
first rounder and Jared Verse. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Right. If you look at it that way, yes. And he's proven himself. He's a good player. He's not Myles Garrett.
No.
But he's a good player, and you don't have to pay him a new contract for three more years.
How much better? I just saw. I'm seeing. I get a lot of my timeline is filled with fantasy football stuff. How much better is Drake May now today?
So it's year three. You anticipate him being better, although we didn't see that jump from CJ. But year three, you would anticipate him getting better. And now you're referencing, obviously, AJ, but not just AJ Brown, Romeo Doubs and AJ Brown. They've added an offensive lineman who's probably not going to do anything this year in Caleb Lomu. I don't think he'll be a factor this year. I don't know. I think he's... his stats may not be as good as last year, but is he more prepared to win in the postseason? Yeah, he's probably. I mean, you would assume he's more prepared with better.
He had a huge year. Now.
You know who his left tackle still is, right?
Yeah, I get it, and I think they're gonna take big advantage of that this year, more so than they did last year.
Who is they?
But he had a huge year now.
Yeah, statistically.
He was second in MVP voting. So.
Yeah, statistically, it's hard to imagine him having a better statistical year.
And now he's got A.J. Brown?
Well, the defense is going to be, they're going to take away some of he's playing a tougher, first of all, he's playing a tougher level of competition. But 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. You know, 43-94, it's possible for him to reach those numbers.
Yeah.
It's possible for him to reach those numbers. He could get close to that. I think he'll be around there.
I absolutely think he's well. I mean, unless the offensive line breaks down like it did for CJ.
Schedule gets a lot tougher though.
Yeah, it's true too. That's another thing.
Well, so the rookie left guard Jared Wilson is moving to center, which is his natural position. So the Patriots are really excited that they think their offensive line is actually much more stable, that Will Campbell will have year two, that he's, you know, understands a little bit better about what he's up against because he, you know, his death by, it was baptism by fire for him as a rookie. And what's funny is we saw Arianti Urseri have some issues early on in the year, which is expected. I wasn't really concerned about him for most of the year. I mean, you notice him when his guy gives up pressure or makes a sack or whatever the case may be. I didn't, by the end of the year, it wasn't like, oh, God, I hope Arianti Urseri can hold up. No more so than if anytime you take on a really good player, yeah, okay, if you have a really good matchup across from you. But I didn't look at Arianti Urseri like I was looking at Will Campbell in a negative way. I didn't really have that issue with Arianti Urseri. I don't know about you. But he wasn't the prime. I was much more worried about my quarterback than I was my left or right tackle.
Yeah, no, I thought they were fine. That was just fine. It was just fine.
They
still couldn't run the ball. I mean, you had two all, including postseason. You had two 100-yard rushers. all year.
Now, you did have a great, your best running game of the year came against the Steelers in the postseason.
Yeah.
That was the best of the whole year. That was impressive.
And but your defense was, the defense was off the field. The offense was on the field because the defense was so good.
Yeah. I mean, well, your offense played more because the defense just, you know, Pittsburgh was three and out.
Yeah,
it was time to go.
That's right.
You mentioned the New England Patriots. Their left tackle, Stillwell Campbell. They added Elijah Vera Tucker, who's very talented. It's just a matter of him staying healthy, which has been a big problem. Left guard, Jared Wilson, back at center. Micah Onwenu is your right guard, and Morgan Moses is the veteran tackle. But they added Caleb Lomu from Utah in the first round, and then Demetrius Crown over in the sixth round from Texas A&M, who I know they like the early results, and then they got a kid named Marcus Bryant who they like at tackle. So they actually are pretty deep. I'm looking at their roster, like they're unusually deep at tackle. I haven't seen a team this deep at the tackle position. It's just a matter of finding the right ones, and some of the guys aren't ready to play yet, like Crown over and Caleb Lomu didn't need a lot more time, but they're not sneaking up on anyone. And that's the difference. The Texans found that out. It's harder when you don't sneak up on people anymore.
Not going to be easy. That the Texans found that out, too.
Schedule's a lot tougher for New England this year.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think they hit the over on wins.
New England?
No.
What are they at, 9.5?
Yep.
I think theirs was – was theirs a little higher? Because they do play too. I seem to remember them being higher than we thought just because they play weaker. I'll see if I can find it anywhere. A little weaker schedule. The season wins for the New England Patriots. For our Houston Texans, it's 9.5. You can see where it could be, you know, it could get a little tricky for the Texans. On paper, it feels like a 12-win season. But you could see, I mean, you're playing a lot of cold weather games in December. We'll see what happens there. For the New England Patriots, that number is the Patriots. No, they're 9.5 also, -160.
-160.
So you got to really lay the number.
10-7. I don't know.
Texans are -135.
Let's not forget, just 2 years ago they were a 4-win team. So
yeah.
You know, I guess Mike Vrabel made that big a difference, and Drake May that big a difference. But you're right; they ain't sneaking up on anybody now. That defense was really good, really good.
I don't think there's any Mike Vrabel carryover. There's no distraction. I don't think there's going to be any distraction type stuff there. Now, the flip side of that is the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles. Did you see what Craig Carton had? Did you see the video of Craig Carton saying what? And I guess this is out there.
About the girlfriend?
Yeah.
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 That was the cause of the rift between Jalen and AJ?
Yeah. So I guess the rumor, and it's really been on Sports Talk Radio, I'm not sure where else it's been, is that Jalen Hurts. So this is the rumor. It's that AJ Brown had a side piece, and then Hassan Reddick was also seeing that same side piece, and it made AJ Brown upset. And this, I have a hard time believing this is how it went down, but this is what is being said, is that AJ Brown went to Jalen Hurts saying, hey, you need to, you know, I need your help with this. And I guess as the leader of the team, he wanted Jalen Hurts to get involved and tell Hassan Reddick, hey man, that's his girl, kind of. And Jalen said, no. And once again, this is how it was portrayed by Craig Carton, who has gone to prison for scalping tickets.
So you're
tickets.
Saying unreliable?
Well, I'm just saying he is a convicted felon who did some time in jail.
So are we supposed to trust convicted felons?
It's your choice.
When he's given us the tea, are we supposed to trust him?
It's your choice. I don't know if he heard it on a cell block or not.
If his cellmate would talk about him in a way, would he say this is snitching?
He would say soft snitching.
Okay.
He would say soft snitching.
Maybe. No, I mean, this is...
Well, no, it's already happened. This is not snitching.
Should you be talking about it, even if it already happened? Keep it to yourself?
I don't know. AJ's gone now.
He is a sports talk host, so...
But yeah.
I'm talking about if he was doing this on the block.
No, on the
if
block,
he was talking about on the block, is that snitching?
No, you can't be talking about. That's prison business.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I assume
but this
you can't
ain't
be
prison
doing
business.
That.
Do no, you think Craig Carden had to put his hand in someone's pocket?
No, I don't think so.
Was he led around by someone with his hand in someone's pocket?
No, I don't think so. But he did end up saying
that. I don't know what he talks about on that show. Fine, you have your rumors about AJ Brown. I also saw a rumor where AJ Brown was having an affair, and the girl who he was supposed to be with was friends with Jalen Hurts' girl, and that's why they have a falling out. I saw
that
too.
Well, there was something.
But honestly,
that makes more sense. That makes more sense than what he said, which is that Jalen Hurts just said, yeah, I don't want to get involved in this. I'm just about football. This isn't a football issue. I'm not getting involved. And then A.J. Brown was just so clutched his pearls. But how could you not help me on this?
Well,
like, that doesn't
how about not throwing him the football? That might have led to some of it, too. Like, you got two throws in a three-week span. The offense was – Jalen wouldn't look to him. Maybe it was Jalen was like, hey – I don't like what you're doing with Reddick's girl there. I ain't throwing to you no more.
I know that this is the case. That in Philadelphia there are concerns that Jalen does what Jalen wants to do and he's not as coachable. And that came from somebody in the building who they just believe that Jalen is, you know, that Jalen does his thing. He thinks it's supposed to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to get him to do the team thing. How do I say this? There's a way that Jalen thinks it should go, and Jalen just thinks it should go this way.
It's well known. Jalen will ignore the play and call an audible.
That's what was reported also by Jeremy Fowler from sources inside Philadelphia.
Well, but the fact of the matter was AJ was disgruntled. AJ was bitching when he didn't get any catches and they were losing games. And then when they lost, but AJ had 10 catches, he was fine.
Yeah, he was a problem on the sideline. You can't for a championship team, you can't have those guys for very long. Right. And New England just added that kind of guy. So he'll probably be on his best behavior, but he's also one of those players that you wonder. I mean, it's just baked into some wide receiver DNA. I don't know why. It just is. It doesn't matter if you want to go Michael Irvin. It doesn't matter Tyreek Hill. It doesn't matter. It's not all wide receivers. We've been lucky with Andre. We've been lucky with Nico Collins. We've been lucky with Kevin Walter.
Well, let's talk about
guys
that on the other
divas.
Side.
You know,
let's
the
talk
Kevin
about
Walters,
how lucky we are with Nico.
David Anderson never complained about not getting the ball.
Right. Well, that's true. That is also true. But right now, I'm not complaining because I had to hoop the pro dunk goal. I had the pro dunk goal at my house. And actually, we moved it to a neighbor's house. And it's still there. And it still looks great. Go see it. It's in Bel Air, okay? If you're looking for an example of how long a pro dunk, we had it, I think we installed it 20 years ago. Yeah, I think it's a good 20 years that we put that up or more. And it still looks like it's brand new today because that's what the pro dunk goal does. The pro dunk goal holds up because it uses the finest ingredients that you could possibly have for a goal. The tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, the breakaway rim. I don't know why they call it a breakaway rim when it doesn't break. I just don't get it. It's a breakaway rim. It's an unrustable stanchion. It's just perfect. They'll stencil your driveway, raise and lower the goal. We used to have to crank it. And it was fine. You know, back in the day, we used to. Now you just push a button, and it goes up and down. And the kids love that. And the kids can dunk, and the kids can have fun, and all the kids are going to be hanging out at your house. This is what you want, people. You don't want your kids out.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Pro Bible is ranking Whataburger number one fast food late night. Number one late night fast food joint. If you had your choice of any, I don't know, the Jack in the Box tacos are just too hard to pass up, but the double cheeseburger at Whataburger, I don't know how you're going to sleep after that, though. Just don't know how you're going to sleep. I've never been to Steak and Shake. That's number two.
Danny Myers. He was
Have you been to Steak and Shake?
Yeah, he was a restaurateur. He started it in he's a restaurateur in New York, and he started it in New York. And yeah, I've been to Steak and Shake.
Good burger. It looks like a smash burger.
Yeah, it is. It's a good burger. The haters will try to, like, you know, I don't like it's good. I think he does a good job. I think they do a good job.
In-N-Out is 3, Jack in the Box 4, Taco Bell 5. Taco Bell.
What is this a list of?
The best late night fast food.
And who did you say is 1?
Whataburger.
WB. Okay, good. Yeah. All right, we're fine. You know, I used to go Whataburger and I used to go, well, some Whataburger, but a lot of Taco Bell, because we could get 2 tacos for $1.
Yeah.
And it's tacos.
At
Jack in the Box, yeah. And it's not like tacos. For those who have never had the Jack in the Box tacos, let me explain. They're not rolled up. There's not some, I would hope so, but there's not some abuelo in the back rolling up tacos with tortillas made on a homemade comal.
No.
No. What they do is they take
greasy AF.
So they're frozen with the cheese in there.
Yeah.
And then they they drop these frozen tacos with meat and cheese and maybe even lettuce in there already frozen. I'm pretty sure the lettuce is already frozen.
Yeah.
They fry those 2 tacos. And then they bring them out, and as John mentioned, extraordinary levels of grease.
It really makes you question what actually is a taco and what isn't. Like, is it a taco? I know they have taco-like ingredients, but is it actually a taco?
And it's closed somehow.
Yeah, that's not typically a taco.
No, it's not. Like I said, there's no one's abuelo making anything. There's not a tía.
Every time I see a Jack in the Box, I crave the taco.
But we had many a night, drinking or not drinking, whatever. You is late at night. You went to the Taco Bell and got, if you spent like, why would you buy anything that wasn't $2, a $1, get 2 tacos? You know, why would you do that? And I think it's still super cheap for those tacos, John.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure there's.
I haven't had one of those. When's the last time you had the? I haven't had one of those. Maybe I had one in my 30s. Maybe.
I had one last year.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see? Yeah, I haven't had one for
a long
time.
I'm out there more.
You're also grown.
Wait, are you kidding me? Grown? I'm never going to outgrow Jack in the Box tacos.
Well,
ever.
Are you waiting in line? You're not waiting in line to get them.
Well, drive up. What do you mean?
Well, because drive-thrus, if you're going to, like, there's Whataburgers that I see where you're in line.
Oh yeah, I'm not doing that.
That one that's on Shepherd when you're headed towards 59. Like, oh no, I'm not sitting in this line.
No.
Unless there's 2 young Christian kids outside with iPads, I'm not sitting on a line that long because I know they're going to be, hello, how are you? Welcome to Chick-fil-A. Like, okay, I'll get through this thing pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can just pay right here, sir.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's the thing that they have to say at the end? They say, it's our pleasure. I don't know. They're grilled to say something like that. If you don't have little kids out there with iPads taking my order 5 cars down, then I'm going to assume I'm not getting through this line fast.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Nico met the media yesterday. He said something that was kind of, I don't know. It was weird, a little bit weird, I thought. Not weird, but. Let's hear from Nico about his contract. I don't know if this is the same one that I'm thinking of. Is this the one about securing the bag? Why it meant everything to him, Del?
You'll hear the question, maybe from Landry Locker. I don't know who asked, but you'll hear the question about was it important to get this money, and then he answers.
All right.
Contract adjustment was something that you needed to make sure you're here with the Houston Texans for the next couple seasons.
Something that I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know, you want to set your family up, you know, for long term. You know, we know this business. It's a business at the end of the day. It's definitely something that you work hard for. You know, you come into this league to get extended. You know, get contracts. You know, so it's definitely a blessing. It's definitely motivation for me and this team to continue to chop wood, continue to keep going. But at the end of the day, I'm definitely blessed for that. You know, a lot of people don't get that first, second contract, that third contract, you know. So it's definitely rare, definitely a blessing. It's definitely a great situation for me and my family long term. And just got to continue to be myself, you know, not making the situation bigger than what it is. It's a blessing for sure, and I got to use that as motivation.
Yeah, he's already got a third contract, and he's been in the league for 5 years.
Yeah.
21, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 years on a third contract. Those are pretty good opportunities for him.
Did the Texans have to do this for him to stay, for him to be happy?
No, I don't know that they had it. For him to be happy, maybe. When he got his first contract, I thought he was fine with it. You never know. He may have seen those numbers come over the top, way over the top of him, because he wasn't the highest paid wide receiver, nor should he have been.
No.
But and he was very thankful. He said, "I'm not trying to break the bank. I just want to. This is a good deal, a fair deal," or whatever he said. Because remember, we were thinking, "Well, this is, you know, he's just out there trying to. He's getting good money, and he's happy, and he wants to be a Texan." And you never know. There's a chance he saw some of the other contracts or had other people in his ear saying, "Hey, man, you're way underpaid. You're he's the 13th highest paid wide receiver in the league. Is that what he was?" Or I feel like that's what the number was before he redid the deal. I think it was maybe a combination of the Texans understanding, we probably got a better than expected deal with him on the front end, and we want to just take care of him so we keep this window happy. His agent may have barked a little bit behind the scenes about the deal. I don't know. We do remember the Texans had Andre Johnson's uncle did a deal for Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
It stunk, and Andre was not happy a year into it, and the Texans redid his deal. And that's one of those things where, you know, there's no agent who would ever redo a deal for a player when they got too much money. Like, yeah, you know, this is too much. We were hurt this year. Let's give some of this back. Let's redo a deal and go the other way. The Texans actually did that for Andre Johnson. I think Rick Smith felt bad for him and redid the deal because it was so bad. That's what happens when you have a family member. I would never let Sebastian do a deal for me.
Well,
ever.
No. So he's currently, and this is before the Drake London deal becomes official and gets thrown into the legal, and they figure out what his annual AAV is. But he's ninth currently after the redo. He'll be 10th.
After the redo.
He'll be 10th because Drake London just got lots of money to be a Falcon. So.
Yeah. So that's after redo. So you can now, also a lot of his stuff may not kick in. He got some money up front, I know. And that's spread out over the life of his contract. So you can take that for what it's worth. But you can imagine where he was before the redo.
Yeah. He was probably, after all the deals, considering the guys who got deals since he got paid, probably mid-range, 15th, 16th, something like that.
In that neighborhood, yep.
Maybe worse. What was he? He was about, was it 25? What was he making, 20?
He was over 20, somewhere between 20 and 23, I think, yeah.
If it was 20 or 23, then he was like in the 20 range. You start looking at some of these guys right now, like Cortland Sutton is at 23. Devontae Smith's at 25. J-Mo's at 26.
It was probably best to just kick him some money and keep him happy because the window that you have. We talked about it. There's a certain window, and you want to keep everything as smooth as possible, and it's probably the right thing to do. Now, I'd like for him to stay healthy. I'm sure that D'Amico and Nick Caserio would like for him to stay healthy.
Well, he spoke on one of those aspects. He says no guardian cap for him because it hurts his ability to track the football. So he's not going to put one on.
Well, yeah, but he's not a concussion guy.
He's missed time with concussion.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's...
So that's why he got asked the question. Are you going to do that? And he goes, nope.
How many concussion guys have we had? We had CJ, Tank, Nico, over the last 3 years. Any other that you can recall?
Jalen Petrie?
Yeah, Jalen Petrie.
Is Jalen a concussion?
He's got the guardian cap for a reason.
Okay. Yep. Jalen. That's one of those things you just hope to avoid. When you get it with quarterback, it's
Because Nico's had a concussion in the playoff game against the Steelers.
That's why he didn't play.
And then he had a concussion. Yeah. And he had a concussion against the Seahawks in the regular season. So that's two.
And this is a wide receiver.
So you get why people are asking. That's two in a short amount of time in one season. And he says, no, it affects his ability to catch the football.
Maybe the Texans should have said, hey, to track the football,
track the football, yeah.
Well, they ain't throwing deep to you anymore. They got shell coverages. Get that damn cap on. Get that guard here. We're going to give you we're going to bring to your house a sack full of $100 bills. It's going to be $3 million that we're giving you as a little signing bonus for this year. We also have a guardian cap in there. We want you to go ahead and put that on because we can't throw deep anyway anymore. So go ahead and wear the guardian cap.
No, we're going to throw deep a lot this year. A lot this year. All right, 713-780-3776, 4 minutes after the hour. Dell's got to get to an ID. Otherwise, we could lose the license. So we got to take a break
here.
Oh,
my gosh, Dell. What is going on? We're going to lose our license?
If, you got, if you don't shut up.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I'm not shutting up because I'm talking about East River 9. East River, the number 9.com. East River 9. If you haven't been, how about this? You can hit balls late because they got a driving range with light, a lighted driving range. You can go and play at night because the whole course is lit. You can play during the day. You can play at night, whatever the case may be. They got pickleball courts there, too. So you like to play golf. She likes to play pickleball. You go together. She plays an hour and a half of pickleball while you play an hour and a half of golf. Boom! And then you meet and you have dinner at the restaurant right there and bar. And you got all your games on because they got, it's a sports bar, all the TVs you could possibly want. It's awesome. And get your boss to get a corporate membership so that it's going to be all free for you, okay? Corporate memberships are very inexpensive and yet very effective for you to go and for you to bring clients or whatever. Just have a good time. Have, make sure that all your employees are having a great time at East River 9. It's all, I mean, a great setup with the prettiest view that you're going to see of downtown Houston. East River, the number 9.com. Corporate memberships available now. EastRiver9.com.
ESPN 97.5.